Hey y'all, Cassie Danger here reporting live from my car. And what is also apparently the downfall of the American financial system. But our GameStop stocks aside, I wanted to answer a couple questions and I guess give people some idea of the person behind the voice, I guess. We're picking and choosing from a couple of different questionnaires, with the exception of the James Lipton classic Inside the Actor Studio questionnaire. I actually sought that one out before I realized it was posted here, because that was one of my all-time favorite things to watch, and honestly, that was a voice that I really enjoyed too. But just watching him reach across the table and just drag information out of people was always just so sweet and endearing to watch. So we'll be doing that at the end, but I'm going to answer a couple other questions first. I liked this one. What topic would you like to have a conversation about? Assume it's with someone who engages really well with the topic. Emo music from 1998 through 2006, also known as the bulk of what I listen to this day, and the shows that I did attend prior to quarantine. In fact, the last thing I did before moving into my job and locking down for the last 11 months was I was asked to shoot photos for Dashboard Confessional's DC 20 tour. And Chris is so sweet and such an amazing person and such a delight. And it was sad, but like such a wonderful last memory to have before being trapped indoors for so long. Also, I am a PhD student and I am without institution or facility right now, so any of my research topics I'm dying to dig back into. I focus primarily on the sociology of food and culture, so like for example my last major project was studying how second and third generation Americans, particularly Nigerian Americans, use traditional foods instead of language to stay connected to culture as part of forced acclimation, you know, not speaking your home language, not speaking with your accent. So lots of people who don't necessarily, like maybe you don't speak Igbo, but you know how to make jollof rice. And then I also study food ways, so things like how slavery created the Geechee and created the Rice Belt in the Californias, please. And then just things about how transportation of foods created required substitutions, essentially, which is the entire basis of Cajun cuisine. Yeah, I'll nerd out about any of my research topics pretty much any day. And then beyond that, I'll talk about food with anybody about anything and my dog. And then I liked on this next one a couple of questions. When listening to an audio here, which is the bigger factor in terms of turning you on, the quality of the voice or the actual words being said? For me, they are evenly split. I do have misophonia, which essentially just means I have like a physical reaction negatively to certain sounds. Like right now, it's like paper bags and high-pitched whines and keys and rattling bolts. Just, it's a long list of just small irritations. But voices have always been, there is very little in between. I tolerate most speaking voices. Some literally send me over the edge in a good way from the first breath. Some sound essentially like nails on a chalkboard. So I only follow three or four people and can only listen to their audios because most other voices make me just so unsettled. And then beyond that, I don't necessarily enjoy listening to activities that I would not participate in. I mean, there's fantasy and then there's fantastical for me, I think. So I listen to mostly things that I would actually want to hear from a person in real life, and I listen to those things from people who speak in a way that is pleasing to me. Think of all the words and phrases that push your buttons, all the things someone can say to you that turn you on and drive you crazy. Now imagine you have to eliminate them all and never hear them again, but you get to keep just one, only one. Which one would you keep? Probably some variant or variation of babe, baby, baby girl. I don't know. Those are the ones that really endear me to a partner, I guess. I'm very much into pet names. I think primarily because my parents gave me a nickname as a name, so there's really nowhere to go with that to begin with. But it's just something that I really enjoy. I call very few people that I know by their real names. Everybody has a little nickname, a little pet name, but in the bedroom, that's what's going to tip me over the edge more than anything else, is especially if it's just like whispered into that right part of your ear, just Lord Jesus. Whew. If you got a private message saying, "Hey, your real name, I recognize your voice. I know this is you." How do you think you would feel or react, assuming the message was coming from a standard friend? My standard friends know what I'm doing. If you were going out socially and were keen on getting some attention, what aspect of you, physical or otherwise, would be your first and strongest weapon? I am like team tits out pretty much all the time. That's basically it. I get complimented a lot on things like feet, which is not my thing. Like, I appreciate all the nice words everybody sent about my bathtub photo, but I'm not a feet person. I appreciate it. I take care of them, but, and then I do have very large, like, anime-esque eyes, with like a very dainty, delicate, pouty mouth. So a good long lash and a red lip takes me where I want to go most of the time. What would your friends say is the absolute best aspect of your personality? This was a conversation that was recently had in a group of people that I am friends with, and I was told that I am funny, caring, a problem solver, and if I cannot solve your problem with my words and my brain, that I will not hesitate to mollywop a bitch. And while it has been many, many years since I have physically fought somebody, they're not necessarily wrong. Like, I don't care that much about a lot of people in my actual family, but my friends are definitely my chosen family. So, you know, fuck around and find out. These hands are rated E for everyone. When flirting here on GWA or in real life, what aspect of the other person will draw you in the most and fire your interest? Like so many of us, I love to sip a nice, tall, refreshing glass of dumb bitch juice on a regular basis and then wonder why I'm not receiving somebody's constant and uninterrupted attention, which is ridiculous. But a little bit of aloofness does really draw me in. When people are a bit too keen, it's difficult for me to not feel uncomfortable. But there, I don't think there is any real aspect beyond, I just like to be able to have an easy, like, it should be easy. You know, when I start talking to you, it should just flow. There should not be a lot of awkward pauses or reiteration of questions or clarifications. Like, it should just be a conversation. We should just be able to talk. Oh, God. Okay, so I didn't see this question, but I am going to answer it. Women, what's the strangest thing you've ever had inside you? Sterling silver swan ring holder. No further context provided, and we're moving on. Who is the person from your personal life or famous person who really kicked off your discovery of your sexuality? I had literally never seen a penis before until I found a Ron Jeremy sex tape in my mother's sock drawer and popped it in just to see what it was like. And that was the first time that I realized that even if you are not necessarily attracted to the person, you can enjoy sexual sounds and get wet. Beyond that, there was like a brief moment where I thought I was going to marry a member of NSYNC, and I had some like pillow humping sex dreams about him, but we're moving on again. Is there anyone, again, in your life or famous who you are really attracted to but is not the gender you are normally attracted to, and not in a gorgeous aesthetic way, and in I'd seriously and enthusiastically fuck them kind of thing? Nigella Lawson is the first person who comes to mind. Again, my obsession with food meant that she entered my life from a young age. And she was honestly one of the first, not even necessarily plus size women, but like, I actually chew and swallow the food that I cook on my show people with a body that suggested she actually enjoyed eating. And she did not subscribe to the Food Network, like, cover your tits up to your neck. And she used to do things that I remember thinking, I don't remember why they were so attractive, but now I realize that they were very sexual. Like, she dips her fingers directly into food and sucks them clean on camera. Her voice is like melted butter. Her skin looks like fresh cream from a dairy. And I don't know, I just think everything about her is very sexy and very sexual. So, yeah. 10 out of 10. Would smash. And that's coming from somebody who's never been with a woman, but I would, yeah, I would do terrible things to her, I'm pretty sure. Is there anyone who you are attracted to who is far away from being your normal type? What is it about them that makes them so attractive? Very fitting for this sub, but I tend to date like chubbier guys with beards, like lots of tattoos, like retired scene kids type of stuff. But I do find myself like almost violently and uncontrollably attracted to people with sexual voices. And I also have like issues with eye contact. But there are times when people will essentially force me to hold their gaze. And I don't know why. Like, I feel like their eyes dominate me. And I feel like very turned on by that concept. So I do end up finding them very sexy. Have you ever had a partner who took sex too seriously? Yes. And he was a terrible person. And we're moving on. We've all done the embarrassing sex stories thing. What is a shameful sex story? Something that makes you cringe if you even think about it to yourself. Something you can never tell a partner about. Okay, so this is something that I am a little ashamed about. I have told a partner about it, but it's still not something that I discuss in mixed company. I was very attracted to this guy when I was a freshman in college, and he was super religious, saving himself for the Lord, and I may or may not have turned a cuddling session into him losing his virginity, which I personally believe is a social construct, but feel really bad about the fact that he was upset afterwards. And that because I had no idea what to do, I basically just snuck out and then didn't speak to him again. So, but I will say I've checked in on him recently. He's doing just fine. So, oh, we're skipping that one. Some of these ask about other people's kinks, and I want people to know me behind the voice, but there's no reason for me to point out things that I'm not into. I think it's just worth noting that if I'm writing or recording a topic, if there's a tag in one of my posts, that is something that I'm into. That is something that I have done or would absolutely do in person for real. I don't care to write about the fantastical for me. It's just not, you know, I'm more of a narrative writer. I can't really write about something or do something or talk about doing something that I wouldn't actually do. So we're going to skip these questions about other people's kinks. What is something that gets you immediately ready to just fuck or be fucked? A pair of underwear, a song, a scent, a place even. Is there a story behind it? The Banks song from the B-side of the Alibi album. This Is What It Feels Like. That used to be like the call and response song with my ex, that it was like time to get busy. So the second I hear that first downbeat, like, warning, here come my nipples, and I'm gonna flood my basement. Knee socks or thigh-high socks. I'm a little bit of like a bratty bottom, I guess, and like if you've listened to my audios, I do enjoy a little bit of light MDOM, but only with a long-term, like a legitimate partner. I don't like casually fuck around with that lifestyle. It's not for me. But when I put those, because I wear like underwear, like boy shorts and a crop tee to bed, but I feel like the second I put those socks on, I'm ready to, like, it's face down, ass up, like, fuck me into a parallel universe, basically. And then smells. I could still vividly remember the smell of my ex's neck. And not, like, his cologne or his soap, like, literally just the smell of his skin in one specific spot. And if I think about it, I can feel myself tingle. So, you know, those, I guess. But at this point, I feel like I'm entering like a whole new realm of sexual awakening. So pretty much like a stiff breeze turns me on at this point. I'm ready to fuck all the time. Bonus, if you had to either only have sex or only masturbate for the rest of your life, which would it be and why? Have sex, obviously. The more, the merrier. Everything is more fun with a friend. I'm deciding if I want to, you know, I'm going to answer it. There's this other set of questions about your first sexual experience, and I'm going to run through those real quick, I think, before we get to James Lipton. How old were you? 17. Who were you with? The guy I'd been dating for like 3 months, I guess. Were you in love? No. Did you think you were in love? No, but he did. How long had you known each other? Oh, been together. Like 3 months. He was my best friend's boyfriend's best friend. You know how that goes in high school, so. What expectations did you have? What informed these expectations? I had been putting it off, but I wanted to get it out of the way before I left for college. So I told myself, it's going to be awesome because when we're fooling around, I get so turned on. This is the obvious next step. And then it was like so unsexy in the end. But where were you? Bed, floor, car, outside, etc. In my bed, in my house. We were on summer break before I left for college. I sent my 12-year-old brother outside to play and told him that I needed to do some stuff inside. Fucked my boyfriend, called my best friend and told her about it, and then sent him home. And then I thought I was so slick, but when my brother came back inside, he literally asked me if I got laid. So, what was the context on a date, at a party, at a special occasion? We literally like booked and planned it, like planned our schedules around a morning that he could come over that we could fuck. How did you feel? Nervous, excited, scared, shitless, eager, horny? I have never been less horny in my entire life. It was dry as the Sahara, and I just remember like waiting desperately for it to be over. Did it hurt? Yes. And it hurt like the next three times after that too. It was rough. It was rough goings for me. Had the two of you previously discussed having sex together? He was a 17-year-old boy. It was literally the only thing he wanted to discuss. Was the encounter planned or spontaneous? It was planned, like I just said. Was there a trigger event that set things in motion? I'm not gonna lie. I realized the power I had over him when I gave him a hand job in the car. And I realized very quickly that if I moved my thumb a specific way, he literally could not control his convulsions, and we almost died. And I thought, I moved my thumb like 2 centimeters, and this man was ready to risk it all. What will I be able to do? What reactions am I going to be able to get? What aspects of my life does this open up if I take my pussy off lockdown and like let him get it in? So that was when I said, hey, should we just fuck? And he was like, yeah. Do you remember what you and your partner were wearing? He worked at a garage and he smelled like gasoline when he came over. I was wearing a gold lace camisole and matching thong that my aunt, of all people, had purchased me for Christmas the previous year. Because, you know, nothing says happy holidays like buying your 16-year-old niece lingerie. And I never wore it again. Was there music playing? No, it was dead silence. What a mistake. Did you use protection? Yes. Who was responsible for it? I purchased a condom at a gas station vending machine for 50 cents. How did that work out? I don't even remember where the rest of the condoms came from that summer, but we had a lot of unprotected sex because we don't take care of teenagers the way we should. But did you come? No. Did your partner come? Eventually, did you come together? Nope. What did you do together immediately afterwards? Got the cordless phone, called my best friend Lindsay, and told her that I had completed our pact before the end of the summer and fucked somebody before college. How did you feel afterwards? Disappointed? Yes. Ecstatic? No. Confused? No. Overwhelmed? No. Elated? No. I honestly felt disappointed that I had waited as long as I did and that we had planned it and lost out on a lot of spontaneous opportunities where I probably would have gotten a lot more pleasure. Like, there were so many times where it was so close and I shut it down with the quickness. But it probably would have been a lot more enjoyable if I had just said, yeah, let's just do this. And then as a person who was like raised in the church and is no longer religious in any way, shape, or form, the idea that I gave myself such grief for like the first 4 years of puberty over a concept that means nothing was very upsetting. Like realizing that that's what supposedly Jesus wanted me to wait for was like this. This is what you want me to wait for? This was really disappointing. What was your relationship going forward? We stayed together for the rest of the summer. We moved to college. He wanted to get married. I broke up with him the second I saw a senior boy named Brad who lived on the floor above me, and I decided I wanted to fuck him, so I dumped my boyfriend. You know, not proud of it, but whatever. Are you still in touch with your first partner? So backing to that last question, I felt bad because he went through a significant spiral because he was in another state. He wanted to get married and was like talking about a house and kids. And, you know, I was 17 and just trying to like fuck everything that moved. He ended up stalking a girl who looked like me, who lived near him. And then he reconnected with me on Facebook a few years ago and called my best friend a homophobic slur, and then tried to fight the guy I was dating at that time somehow, and then got really drunk and sent me like a really long voice message on Facebook Messenger, and I blocked him and we've not spoken again. What else? If you could do it over, would you change anything? Yeah, I wouldn't have done it with him where I did it or when I did it. I would have fucked the guy I wanted to fuck like 3 years prior. If you could send a message back to your virgin self, what would you want them to know about sex? It's going to get better. Your pleasure is absolutely a priority. Sex is not over just because a man ejaculates. You are not out of bounds in asking to be given pleasure from the person that you are sleeping with or being intimate in some way with. Virginity is a construct. You do not need to save it or keep it for anybody but yourself. There's like so many things. It's okay if it hurts in a good way, but if it hurts in a bad way, see a doctor. You should not be ashamed to ask questions. You should not be ashamed of things that turn you on. You should not have sex with somebody that you're afraid to discuss sex with. If you can't feel comfortable asking your partner for what you want, you're probably not with the right partner. And nobody who genuinely cares for you or your sexual pleasure will ever try to persuade you to do something that you do not want to do. So, that got a little dark, I guess, but, you know, the more you know. Okay, and then I'm just going to skip to the James Lipton questionnaire. What is your favorite word? I have lots of favorite words. I will say that a lot of my favorite words lately have been parts of what used to be referred to as Ebonics, but now correctly referred to as African American Vernacular English, or AAVE. Words that I guess growing up felt like didn't have a place in conversation, or that were considered, you know, quote, ghetto, that you didn't want to say in front of other people. But like I just said earlier in this audio, that I'd mollywop somebody. That's like top 10 one of my favorite things to say, which is unfortunate, but I like a lot of words for meaning, but mostly I just like words that are pleasant to like, pleasant sounding and like fun to say. Like I really enjoy the word filibuster. I like a lot of words that have Hebrew origins. I don't know, I just think it's honestly a very beautiful language. I don't know. If I think of more, I'll put them in the comments, but I like the word auxiliary. I like really anything that has an X with a reasonable usage. I also like words with X's as opposed to CK sounds because they're softer. What is your least favorite word? I hate so many words. Oh my gosh. I hate a lot of... I hate a lot of words that exist solely for, like, response. And I also hate a lot of slang that have no origins that mean nothing. Like, can we stop saying that's cap or no cap? But what are we talking about? I hate that. I don't like that word. I do not, I am part of the large group of people that do not like the word moist. Although, as a baker, I am forced to use it and I've gotten better. I do and do not enjoy the word cunt. I enjoy it if it's peppered through sexual conversation, I think. But I do not care for it being, like, the main term used to describe my vagina. But other words I hate, like, I don't like the word, I hate when somebody needs to go to the restroom and they say they need to go take a piss. I fucking hate that word. I don't like it in virtually any context, but I really hate that phrasing. Like, I remember when I turned 21, I was dating a guy who lived in another state and he came to visit for my birthday. And I said, oh, you made a really good time. And he said, oh yeah, I only had to stop once to take a piss. And like immediately could not think about how much I did not want to be in his company at that moment. What is something that turns you on? Obvious is a nice voice. The richness in timbre, certain accents, especially accents that contain dropped letters in certain places. Nice smells. Being touched in, like, on the back of the neck. Good kissing is still going to be, like, my number one turn on. Like, we don't kiss enough. There's not enough making out. Like, I lose engagement in some audios where there's, like, no kissing or, like, very light kissing. I like a good full-on makeout sesh. And then, you know, not to be super vanilla, but, like, you know that moment when your hand bumps against their hand and you realize that you probably both want to hold hands, but nobody's really doing it, and then finally somebody, you know, it's like it happens at the same time and your hands are just suddenly together. That's like such a total sploosh moment for me. Like, that electric contact. Also, I think hand holding is just, like, very sexy. Especially, like, in a crowded, like, if we're in a crowded location and we need to, like, walk through it together, and the person I'm with says, like, here, take my hand, and then guides me to where we're going. Oof. Yeah, anyway, moving on. What is something that turns you off? Oh, gosh. Okay, so general ignorance, like, I am happy to walk you through something that you do not understand if I have a working knowledge of it. But, like, just disinterested ignorance, like, I don't understand this or know this, and I make no effort to do so, especially if it's, like, a social issue, a racial issue, you know? Like, I dated a guy who, I am mixed race, and I dated a guy who thought it was, like, appropriate to create a cutesy nickname based off a racial slur. And when I was like, let me explain to you why this is not okay and why you should not say this ever to anyone at all, especially not somebody you claim to love, he was like, this is my opinion on this and I'm going to say what I want to say. And that's basically when things were over for us. I also get a lot of, like, orgasm anxiety. So while coaxing me to come is really sexy, lots of people tend to become frustrated when it's, like, not happening on their schedule. And, you know, you want to shout, it's not me. Like, if I'm not, I'm perfectly capable of coming. And if I haven't yet, it's likely because you're not doing the things that I need to get me there. But instead of being frustrated with themselves, it's like they get frustrated with me. And that gives me more anxiety. And it completely just, it shuts me down. I'm just not into it. Also, unsolicited, poorly taken dick pics. Like, if I can get an artful shot of, like, my asshole and send it to you, you could probably figure out how to appropriately photograph your dick. What sound or noise do you love? I have a constant music playing. Baby chuckles, like when little kids laugh so deeply that it's like they can no longer control their bodies. I am going to click on pretty much any audio that has the tag man sounds, because I think we've created a society that tells men that being open about their sexual pleasure or admitting that they're enjoying something that's happening to them is somehow less masculine than they need to be. So we get these very quiet and stoic men, and I hate that. I want to know that you're being pleased. I want to know that you're enjoying what's happening. So even just a heavy sigh, a little whimper, a tiny moan, even like a little grunt, is both, like, pleasing on a personal level and on a sexual level. What sound or noise do you love? I don't know. I like just lots of little sounds. I like Tibetan bowls. I find that, like, very relaxing. And I love the cello. I'm, like, on a quest to see Yo-Yo Ma perform a specific piece in person, and I've gone to 4 of his performances now and have yet to see it, but I will keep going back for more. Oh God. And right now we're 420 friendly in this household. So I texted a friend recently and I just said, like, oh my gosh, I got too high and I don't know what to do. And he said, you need to listen to this. And it's, this band, if you're familiar, Churches, covering Kendrick Lamar's Love. Love is my favorite Kendrick Lamar song from my favorite Kendrick Lamar album. Churches is one of my top 5 favorite bands. It's only on YouTube because it's a cover for Like a Virgin. It is easily one of the most magical things you'll ever listen to. Her voice is just like crystal clear water to me. Their music just sustains me when I need to listen to it. But that is one of the most beautiful things, and I listen to that video, like, on repeat, basically. Okay, what sound or noise do you hate? I have misophonia. I hate lots of sounds and noises. Current list of things that make me a little crazy. Bag sounds. So, like, crumpling paper bags, crumpling plastic bags. Christmas morning was a struggle. Because usually it's just me and my partner, and I'm currently unpartnered. So I was with the family that I work for and several children, and it was just lots of noise. Whistling I have a difficult time with in some contexts. Just depends on tone and pitch of the person's voice. My dog makes this high-pitched sound when I'm not giving him enough attention, and I love him to death, but I want to boot him into the sun when he does it. The scrape of a knife across a plate when somebody's cutting too hard. And then one that really sets me off, like, to the point of I need to leave a room, is, you know, if you put a bowl down without putting it down flat, and it does that wobble, slowly increasing in speed until it settles, I have to slam the bowl down or leave the room. I can't stand that sound. And they change, like, every time I work on accepting something and, like, breathing my way through it, a new sound will crop up that'll annoy me, but I tend to be pretty good about it. What is your favorite curse word? I don't know. So I'm going to say that my favorite curse word is going to be different than my most used curse word. Like, my most used curse word is fuck. And it's because it's so multi-purpose, you know, fuck you, fuck that, fuck me, you know, what the fuck, who the fuck, how the fuck, you know, just, oh, it's just such a perfect word, but my favorite curse word might be dick. But only because it works in the context of my insults. I will call somebody a shit dick, trickle dick. I don't know. Maybe it is fuck. Let's say it's a tie. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt? I have had a number of professions. And I'm reaching a point right now where I feel like I'm less focused on professions, careers, dream jobs, etc., and more focused on what can I do to pay my bills and put food on my table and also be happy at the same time. You know, we don't put enough emphasis on the fact that dream job is something that's marketed to us to convince us that we need to spend 40, 50, 60 hours a week doing something just to survive. And I think there's got to be a better balance between what I do now, what I've done in the past, and what I could do in the future, because, you know, I'd like to be able to enjoy the things that are around me before I'm too old to do so. You know, my grandparents worked tirelessly until they retired, and then they went on a lot of like cross-country trips, but there's only so much you can do when you're 70 and you're driving around going cross-country. I want to enjoy the world and my life now. So maybe there's something out there for me that involves travel, but we'll see. What profession would you not like to do? Okay, so again, without giving away like a ton about my actual career and personal life, the job that I am in now has a burnout rate very similar to that of social workers and ER nursing. So, and most people do it for 4 to 6 years. I'm on we're in the double digits, like the heavy double digits. And I'm very tired. So, things that require, like I have several friends who work in social work, and that's just, I could never. The things they have to see and endure are just, it's endless. You know, I have a friend who works in social work, and every holiday, every birthday, she asks for luggage, new luggage, used luggage. And I thought, she just like wants suitcases. She collects it because part of her job is taking children out of unsafe situations, bringing them home for the evening, and then getting them into the system. And when that happens, they are given trash bags to carry their belongings. So she collects luggage as gifts for herself so that when she rescues children from these like abusive situations, she can give them something to put their few belongings in. And I think that's like both admirable and incredibly sad and would take too much of a toll on me. So also like anything really gross, I guess. Like I considered going into nursing briefly, but I can totally handle like blood and other bodily fluids, but it's things like, like cysts and vomit and, you know, no, thank you. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates? Okay, so I have a really difficult and storied relationship with religion, and I would say that if I arrive at the pearly gates and there is a God, and I find out that this omnipotent being exists who has the ability to essentially control all of our lives, the only thing that I want to hear after a lifetime of working with children who have cancer, children who are starving, animals who have been abused and left for dead, people who have gotten terminal illnesses and suffered for legitimately no reason. I want to hear, "I'm sorry." And beyond that, I don't think I'd have any interest in anything beyond that. Because the realization that there exists a being who could have prevented so many horrific things from happening, who chose not to, but instead watched from above, calculating these imaginary points, like shout out to The Good Place, to determine who's righteous and who's not, would just honestly disgust me beyond belief. So, I gotta find another question because I can't end this like that. That was terrible. Oh my gosh. Can't end it on something like so deep. Let me find something funny. Oh my gosh, I can't find anything good to throw in here. Oh, okay, here. Calamundus, diabolical, plenipotentiary of pleasure, demon of sex, offers you a sex-related boon. What do you ask for? Do you want a gaze that can make any man jizz in his pants, a vibrating cock, unlimited spunk? This is the demon to ask. My issue has always been I am not noticed in public spaces, which I find quite frankly absurd, but like, for example, I have never, and I'm like well beyond drinking age, I'm a grown adult, like I'm grown. I have never in my 10 plus and more years of going to bars, I have never had somebody walk up and introduce themselves to me or ask to buy me a drink. Just literally never. And I'm not like a swamp monster, so I just am not noticed like that. I don't know why, it's just always. If you've watched Community and you see the scene where Jack Black shows up and attempts to join the study group and nobody recognizes him after a year of him being in their class, and he says, "I tend to sort of blend into the background, it's just my body type," I tell myself that that's the case. So I guess I don't necessarily need, like, you know, my pussy doesn't need to vibrate or, like, dispense cash. I don't need tits that, like, squirt out scotch and chocolate milk, you know, or anything like that. But, like, I think maybe some sort of, like, magnetism situation. Like, I put on my special perfume and, like, men of my interest are drawn to me, perhaps. Although now I am, like, now that I've said it out loud, I am rethinking having tits that dispense scotch from one side and chocolate milk from another. Although I think it would probably realistically be more like champagne from one side and iced coffee from the other, as cliche and basic as that is. But okay, I have now been sitting in this car park for an hour and my dog is asleep and I would like to go to bed. So I will try to pinpoint when each thing, well, I don't need to add that in here, because if you listen to this whole thing, like, oh my God, bless you. And like, let's be real, I'm probably going to post this and then I'll delete it because I'm going to be embarrassed that I talked for so long. But signing off for now. We'll check in later on the status of, I guess, my life, my audio work, and you know, my GameStop stocks. All right, bye, y'all.